Between 1920 and 1957, Wisconsin led the nation in the production and the growing of industrial hemp. Last November, Governor Scott Walker signed a bill allowing, with some nuances that we'll talk about in a minute, the growing of industrial hemp in Wisconsin. Two lawmakers who sponsored that bill are to my left, State Senator Patrick Teston. He's a Republican representing the 24th District. State Representative Bob Culp is a Republican from the 69th District. And Ken Anderson, our final guest, is founder of the Legacy Hemp LLC. Gentlemen, thanks very much. Okay, lawmakers, I am really curious. You came to your caucuses and your governor and wanted to push what has been a hot button issue, industrial hemp, because hemp, marijuana, oh, let's not go there. How did you explain that? Because your bill, which you got signed by the governor last November, had been around for a while. So how did you talk to your caucuses and get them on board, Senator?
Well, yeah, so by way of background, a lot of credit is given to State Representative Jesse Kramer, who first approached me about this.
He was the lead sponsor in the Assembly.
Yeah, he was the lead author in the Assembly, and when he first came to me, he said, "Senator, I've got this idea for a bill, and I'd like you to be the Senate lead." And I said, "Okay, well, what is it?" And he said, "It's industrial hemp." And immediately I said, whoa, pump the brakes here, because you're talking about marijuana. And he's like, "Oh, God, no. And he's like, "No, industrial hemp is a lot different from marijuana." I said, "Okay, well, let me do some homework." And I did my research. And, you know, through my research, I found out Wisconsin has a rich history of industrial hemp production here in the country. And at one point, we led the nation. But unfortunately, because of its close affiliation with the marijuana plant, we haven't been able to grow it in the state since 1957. And there's so many different uses for this plant, from the textile industry to new research and development in the plastics industry and all different types of things. And the fact you can find this stuff in your grocery store right now. You can find hemp hearts, you can find hemp seeds and granola bars and many well-known grocery stores and retailers throughout the state. And so we released the legislation, and the first time we pitched it, first time I pitched it in our caucus, got met with some skepticism. Many people thought industrial hemp is something that it isn't, and so we just took a lot of time educating our members on the value of this plant and what it could mean for the state of Wisconsin, and the fact that over 30 other states are currently growing this crop right now. It just makes sense that we do it here in the state of Wisconsin when we have the history behind it.
Mr. Culp, I know Mr. Kramer was the sponsor. We'll be doing an exit interview
sure.
with him
mm-hmm.
on the March 27th, so mm-hmm. but you're number two sponsor in the Assembly. When you brought it up, the reaction in your caucus, sir?
Well, I liked it right away because, like the senator said, I saw the opportunity here. I mean, when you talk thousands of uses for hemp, and we are cutting ourselves out of the possibility of a really big market, why would we do that to our state? Just because of a perception, because the plant looks a little bit like it might have a nefarious cousin.
Okay.
And so, you know, it really, once we got the idea that this is a good thing and an opportunity for business and for farmers, then it became easier to sell in the caucus. And I too would like to applaud Jesse Kramer for having put this out, because it really took a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure that we had the checks and balances in place for it, so that it wouldn't just be something that would get carried away, and so that we had, you know, parameters around it. Really, I think it's cool that DATCAP has been working on this. I mean, we gave them basically 90 days to come up with an emergency rule.
Yes.
And they did yeoman's work in putting this together in that short amount of time. Who knew that government agencies could function that quickly? But that was really fun to see. And, you know, we'll talk more about some of the dynamics of it as goes on. But once everybody saw what this was and what it wasn't, it was quite easy to put a bow on it and get it to the governor's desk.
Before I get to Ken, just this update. DATCAP, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, has adopted rules and a week ago began accepting applications for potential growers. And the deadline for that is May 1, right, Ken?
That's correct.
Okay, Ken, thanks very much for your patience.
That's right.
Now, this is industrial hemp is what your for-profit company does?
That's correct.
And explain its origins and how do you navigate the federal government still considers it a Schedule 1 product or drug, so give us a little orientation here.
Well, basically, 7606 of the Federal Farm Bill is kind of what these programs are based off of. And that gave, in 2014, with the Farm Bill, that gave the rights to states, departments of agricultures, or institutions of higher education in states to study industrial hemp. So in 2014, fortunately, I actually was the first person to legally import hemp seed into the United States under that bill for the state of Kentucky. And since then, we've been helping different states develop their programs. And now we provide farmers with domestically produced AOSCA-certified hemp seed. And now the next step of that is we are entering into processing. So we actually not only provide the farmers with the seed, but we buy the yields back from them, and we process in the food industry right now and sell that to our customers.
How many states have legalized industrial hemp?
I believe it's 33 right now, 33, and there's about, I'd say, 17 that are active and actually with pilot programs.
So you've been working nationally.
Yes.
What's been the objection to Wisconsin, and how come you got legislators like these two to carry it all the way to become law?
You know, I think the education is coming around. When I, even in, say, 2013, starting in 2011, when I would go to testify, I reading body language, it was a lot of crossed arms and people kind of like, what does these guys want to do? And it was that the conflation with marijuana was really strong. And so now seeing, you know, people come around, including Senator Teston here, like he said, when he first heard about it, I mean, that was the first thing he thought. And luckily, he has the cognitive ability to do some research and found out that this would be good for Wisconsin farmers. So for me, it's really nice to see kind of the tide has turned. It went from, you know, everyone kind of thinking that we were up to nefarious things to seeing that we're trying to provide American farmers with a crop that they can make more money in, and it's not subsidized. How is that a problem? I don't see.
This is a good time to show a picture of hemp and ask you two questions. What is industrial hemp and what is it not, given the often tangent made to marijuana?
Okay, well,
what is hemp?
Industrial hemp would be cannabis sativa L, but it has the legal threshold is 0.3% THC.
Less than
0.3 or
THC.
Less. So THC would be the kind of the hallucinogenic effect that marijuana would have. And if you see modern marijuana would probably be upwards of 20% THC, where 0.3% is not going to do you any good. So really what we say hemp is it's a crop that we can do many things with, thousands of things with, but the one thing we can't do with it is use it to get high.
Okay.
That's what it's not. It is not marijuana.
A question for both legislators. Have you had farmers in your district in the 69th ask you about this and to push it? Representative Cole?
Absolutely. I mean, right now the farm economy is pretty depressed. The price of milk is down, soybeans, corn is way down. So farmers are seeing this as an opportunity to possibly help their farm out. And I guess along with that, I'd also want to make sure that we caution that we don't say that this is the answer to the ills in farming, and that if you are wanting to go into hemp production, that you make sure you have a market for it. Connect with somebody like Mr. Anderson here, but have a place to sell it, because the worst thing you could do is produce it and not have a place to sell it. That would actually be detrimental to your farm income, of course, if you did that. So that's one caution. Otherwise, I see the potential, you know, as being very, very good, especially as all these different uses are developed. I mean, I was thinking about a biography I read of George Washington Carver. You know, 100 years ago, he found 300 uses for peanuts, and that transformed many peanut farms. And I think that hemp has the same ability to do that. But obviously it needs to be gone into with a degree of care and understanding the market. It's not the salvation of a farm in and of itself, but it may help those who really go in with their eyes wide open. And that's one of the reasons I'm excited about it here.
Senator, you represent the Central Sands region. Very healthy production. In fact, we lead the nation in potatoes,
yep,
and vegetables and things like that. Have your farmers been asking for, as this is one more potential crop?
Yeah, they see this as a potential to incorporate in their crop rotation and into their portfolios. As it's been alluded to, I mean, commodity prices are at an all-time low. And so this is a lot of the growers I've talked to who express support for this see an opportunity to incorporate this into their fields. And as Bob Representative Culp mentioned, you're going to want to start small and then grow big. As the market expands and grows here in the state, there will be more opportunities for processors to come in. But I think long term, this is going to be another avenue for our farmers to hopefully up their margins. And more importantly, this is another great chance to lessen our dependence on a foreign import. Each year in the United States, we import anywhere between $500 to $600 million worth of industrial hemp just from Canada alone. And that doesn't even account for countries like India and China. So why not grow it here? We have a huge history and a track record of success in the United States, primarily here in the state of Wisconsin. So I think when we look back at this from 10, 15 years down the road, I think we're going to be in the conversation that Wisconsin's at the top of the list again in this crop.
Ken, how can a nation import $600 million worth of a product that is still labeled a Schedule I drug?
The only thing that is considered a Schedule I narcotic with industrial hemp is live planting seed. So once it's been processed or made non-viable, then it's you can transport it anywhere in the world, really, without any problems.
Now, I should mention to our viewers, there's a very helpful, Wisconsin and I went to what amounted to a Hemp 101 session at the Chippewa Valley Technical College on January 30th. It lasted 2 hours and 45 minutes. You were there, Mr. Anderson. I think there were 200 to 300 interested people.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
That's on the WISI archives, and if you want more information, you should go there. But what I learned is how regulated industrial hemp is, and there's no other crop like it in Wisconsin.
No.
You have to, and let's show, you have to complete a application. You have to undergo a background check. You have to notify our DATCAP of a GPS, and you have to destroy the crop at the end of the season. You can have no carryovers, and these are just some of the regulations. Can you talk about why a farmer, oh, by the way, DATCAP also said, you will need to secure seed independently. Buying seed and moving it into Wisconsin is done at your own risk. Wisconsin law does not provide protection for interstate shipments. This is what you do, Mr. Anderson. So how do you navigate all these controls that aren't there on corn, soybeans, et cetera?
Well, we sometimes push the envelope, but we always stay above, we stay above board and we do what's legal. And right now, unfortunately, we're involved in a program that is still based upon appeasing law enforcement. So, if this were just open to study for, departments of ag and they said, well, let's study it, it would be a lot easier. But since it's still classified as a Schedule I narcotic, we do have to, the Department of Justice does still kind of have some say in what goes on. And although my belief is they shouldn't have, based upon 7606 of the Farm Bill, if you look at that, the first word on there is notwithstanding, and that is notwithstanding the Controlled Substance Act. That's what would give the DEA jurisdiction. But unfortunately, I talked about 2014 when we imported seed into Kentucky. That was actually confiscated by the DEA going to the Department of Agriculture in Kentucky. We sued them the Kentucky Department of Agriculture along with my company to get the seed back. And we really, I believe we would have won because they weren't, the DEA is not supposed to have jurisdiction because we were going to a Department of Agriculture. But unfortunately, the Kentucky Department of Agriculture dropped the lawsuit and in order to get an expedited Schedule I narcotics import permit. That kind of set the precedent that's what we need to do is to work with the DEA, which I can also say that I've worked with the DEA in multiple states, and as long as you stay above board, they're not really hard to work with. I just don't think that they need to be in the way because we're not trying to grow marijuana. We're trying to, grow an agricultural crop and not a horticulture crop or a drug crop. So navigating it is tough because it also changes in the different states we work with different DEA agents, and it's not a standard over the board of how you work. I mean, it's different in every state. So it's tough, and I can't wait till we don't have it, but we need to pass federal legislation like 3530. That's federal legislation that would put hemp into the agriculture realm rather than the Schedule I narcotics realm.
Our Department of Trade, Ag Trade and Consumer Protection must be licensed by the DEA to regulate this potential industry, right, Ken?
That's incorrect.
No, okay, fix it then.
So the only thing that that even in any state that we grow hemp in, the only thing that a Department of Agriculture or a university like Purdue in Indiana, they get what's called a Schedule 1 narcotics import permit. They don't have what would be a 225, a DEA 225, which would actually be where they were housing the program themselves. So they actually, like right now, DATCAP, they don't have an import license, and they might not have one in time to get seed in from outside of the country, but now they're able to license because the federal law says that departments of agriculture, once bills pass, like Act 100 pass, they have the right to administer their own hemp pilot program. So that's what DATCAP's using right now.
But the only institutions that can administer this, quote, experimental program is an institution of higher learning, e.g.
correct.
The UW system, which is why Extension is involved,
yep.
Or DATCAP.
That's correct.
Legislators, knowing how closely you work with your local law enforcement, police chiefs and sheriffs and the Department of Justice, did your bill give them some initial amount of heartburn?
I think initially there were some concerns, primarily with because of the, it looks like marijuana, even though it's not marijuana. I know some of the sheriffs that I spoke with, they had concerns, well, what if someone tries to grow marijuana in an industrial hemp field? Well, the beauty is science won't let you do that. Mother Nature just won't allow it because they cross-pollinate so quickly that the THC concentrations just diminish. And in fact, it's pretty interesting, and at one of the public hearings, we had a lawyer who is a cannabis lawyer who's originally from Wisconsin but's working out west, and said that in some states where they legally have marijuana growing operations, they actually have codified statute that says you can't grow industrial hemp within so many miles of this grow site because of the concerns of cross-pollination. So the reason why we had to put some of these protections in there was to alleviate some of the concerns of law enforcement and give them some certainty. But hopefully, our hope is that as the legislation moves at the federal level, and we hope it will, that it would remove these requirements completely because it would delist industrial hemp as a Class 1. And so that's our hope. But in the meantime, we have to operate within the framework that's provided to us by the federal government. And so that's why we had to craft this legislation that would give our growers and processors as much certainty as possible here in the state of Wisconsin. And I think compared to some of the other states that have industrial hemp laws, I think ours is probably the strongest out of all of them.
So did your sheriffs and deputies, did they end up supporting this?
They did. I mean, it really didn't take too much talking and for them to get the idea of it. And one of the things that I think is critical if you're a farmer and thinking about getting into this is that you deal with certified seed, and because that gives you a level of protection in the bill as well, that you're not out there just getting the cheapest thing you can find on the internet and throwing it in without. So law enforcement, I think, will look at the way we put this bill together, and they certainly didn't have a problem with it as time moved on, really early on. They're like, no, we get it. It's a different deal than marijuana, so go for it.
There is a recommendation from DATCAP that you only buy and use certified seed. Excuse me. Who provides that? Does your company?
Yes, we do.
And is there a growing network of companies that provide certified seed?
Yeah, a lot of the foreign companies that have certified seed are moving into America to produce it. We were the first to produce the domestic certified seed.
Who certifies it? Excuse me.
AOSCA. So AOSCA, the Association of Seed Certifying Agencies. So in Wisconsin, that would be Wisconsin Crop Improvement Association. And it is a growing sector, but I think one of the things that is very important that I stress all the time is what he said, is that, you know, there has to be a market for it. I don't want any farmer to go out there and think that there's going to be a buyer at the end of the day. Make sure that you have a buyer before you put seed in the ground, because you can't just go to your local elevator like you can any other commodity and say, hey, what's your cash price for hemp today? Because it's not there. So that's a black eye on the industry if that doesn't happen. Make sure that you have a buyer lined up before you put seed in the ground.
You spoke about that, Representative mm-hmm. Culp, that mm-hmm. nobody should get into this if yep. they're just speculating, correct?
I think it's incredibly important for people to be in charge of their own businesses, and that those businesses are farms, to make sure that they have, you know, the pros and the cons, and have the groundwork laid so that it actually does produce an income for them. Yeah. So absolutely, I wanted to make sure that if nothing else got said in this interview, that that was said, because
thank you.
I would hate to have people risk their 40-acre plot on something that they didn't have a market for.
Yeah, since March 2nd, we have people applying for us to give them contracts for production. And since March 2nd, on our website, we've had over 90 farmers apply for contracts for their acreage. So it's a hot commodity right now. But
these 90 farmers are mm-hmm. seeking, they want to know how much you'd pay them. Are you renting their land?
No. So we contract their production. So we'll sell them seed, and then we will contract the whole yield of their acreage that we contract, and then we buy it at the end of the year. And that really is, to me, I think that the strongest advocacy for industrial hemp right now is a black bottom line for all that's involved. The second that we have 40 farmers go out there and throw acreage in the ground and there's no one at the end of the year to buy it, that's not going to look good for any of us. So,
talk about the growing season for hemp. When does it have to be in? When do you harvest? Is it water intensive, knowing how huge and is it as water intensive as some of your other crops in the Central Sands?
No, compared to some crops like corn, soy, potatoes, it requires significantly less water than some other crops. So in an area such as mine in the Central Sands, where obviously groundwater quality and quantity is an issue, this is a potential to hopefully change that landscape. And also, because it's a weed, it doesn't need any pesticides or herbicides. So it's you don't need to dump a bunch of chemicals onto the fields.
Let's come back to a typical growing season for industrial hemp in Wisconsin. Must be in the ground by, harvested by?
So you can put seed in the ground anytime the soil temperature is above 50 degrees. And then on the average cultivar will be between 105 and 110 days from planting to harvest. So, and it isn't, you do not need pesticides or herbicides, and also there's none labeled for it. The big issue of why you don't need that is also the canopy that it produces. It will drown out the weeds that would come up after it. So we say that if you can grow a good yielding wheat, it's pretty much the same inputs as a good yielding wheat. Now, will it grow with nothing out of it, like out of a rock in the desert? Possibly, but what's it going to yield? So it's like any other agricultural crop. The one thing that hemp doesn't like is it doesn't like wet feet. So a sandy soil with some nutrients in it, it does really well.
I'm not going to ask you to give us your company price list, but is certified seed prices less than corn or some other commodities?
Well, I'll give you the price.
Okay.
We sell a OSCA certified seed at $4 a pound, and that's certified seed. It's going to cost you. The planting rate is 30 to 35 pounds per acre, so you're looking at roughly $120 an acre for planting seed. And if you don't get certified seed, I see it all the time. You'll have seed from you can get 1,000 seeds from Colorado for $400. Stuff like this. So I think that the protection of certified seed is more than just knowing what you get, but it's also knowing your crop. So
can I get two crops in a season or just one per year?
Not up here. And especially you could if you were going to do what's called an auto flowering, but it's in this growing region, one crop is what you're going to get. But we've done studies where if you try to two crop it, but your yield is actually better with a single crop. So
we've all seen police reports of ginseng thieves coming in the middle of the night and stealing ginseng because it's so valuable.
Right.
Has the theft of industrial hemp been a problem in other states?
If it has happened, it would only happen once. Because they're after it for a reason, and once they find out that reason, it doesn't get what they want, they don't come back. You'll make that mistake once.
If I contract with your firm to grow industrial hemp, mm-hmm. do you then guarantee me a price at the end of it? You
yes.
do.
Yes.
And is that going to be pretty lucrative compared to, as what the senator says, we have a down price for some other commodities here?
Yeah, we even with a conventional, your kind of price points are conventional production is for grain is kind of your lowest price point, and that would be a little bit better than corn without any subsidies. Organic is really our main market, organic food production, and that pays much better than what you'd see in the average market. And then certified seed production is our highest netting for farmers, and they do real well. The spectrum is really from, it depends on your inputs that you need. It depends on the if you're renting or own the land. It depends on a few things. But mainly, farmers are going to make anywhere between $300 an acre net and up to $1,000 an acre.
And what about harvesting? Do I have to buy any special new combine or anything like that?
No, you don't. Not if you're dealing in the grain market. The grain market, the standard combine, even rotary, Case will work, John Deere will work. You're just going to use your normal draper header. And really, the big thing that farmers need to know is that the most important aspect of the production is post-harvest handling. The plant takes care of the seed real well while it's on the plant. As soon as it comes off the plant, if you don't have a post-harvesting plan in place to be able to get the foreign material out and dry it down, you can lose your whole crop. So that's really important. The post-harvest handling is kind of the largest issue that we have with industrial hemp.
Let's play this out. Representative Culp is from Stratford. If a Stratford area farmer grew industrial hemp and harvested it, how would she or he get it to market?
Well, there's a few different things that we're looking at, too, as far as a lot of the kind of our main market, once again, is the organic market. And a lot of these guys don't have the capability to clean the grain and get it storable so that we can just call from them, which is how you do on kind of your large commodities. You know, normally you're just going to do a call. So we're looking at setting up different receiving centers around Wisconsin so that farmers can get it right off the field, get it in, get it cleaned, conditioned, and ready for storage. But normally the contracts would be clean, dry, delivered to a facility. If we have to take care of other issues for the farmers, then obviously there's a fee-for-service for, you know, other companies that will step up and be able to have receiving centers.
You gentlemen must be asked if you want, now that you've played a role in legalizing industrial hemp, your position on recreational marijuana. You must have been asked that.
A few times.
So what's your answer?
I'm just not there yet on recreational. You know, you see this trend in other states where they're legalizing it. I don't foresee that happening in the state of Wisconsin anytime soon.
And I would agree with that. I have friends who are in my industry, the roofing industry, in other states. And in Colorado, I think the jury is still out as to the pros and the cons and the pluses and the minuses. So I would say no at this point as well. But I think what you saw in this whole thing is the industrial hemp, it basically was we in the legislature doing our job and the government doing its job and basically saying, let's get out of the way and allow private industry to flourish. And you heard the technical details that Mr. Anderson was giving about how this all works. We don't know that stuff at the state. We just get the vision of, look, we need to back away from this because it makes a ton of sense to open the door to relieve the barriers and let industry flourish. And I think that's what I'm personally proud of, having had a part of doing that.
Okay. Well, we're almost out of time, so let's end the show this way. Potential growers who are watching the show, whether or not they're in your district, 69th, 24th, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would say, well, first and foremost, contact individuals like Mr. Anderson. As it's already been said several times now, you want to make sure that you have a buyer at the end of harvest. And also, I would check with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection and get more information on the act and the law and the program to see if this is going to be a right fit for your farm.
And I would say that's great advice. And obviously, the window opened March 2nd and is going to close May 1st. So we've got a real tight window this year. Typically, that registration process will be in the fall of the year as things move along.
The deadline for potential growers, who want to submit applications for next season is December 30th. I just want to clarify that.
And that's my point, is that it may not be the thing to jump onto for this year. It may be the kind of thing where you want to let some of your friends and neighbors take some of the early end mystery out of it. On the other hand, again, I'm not here to dictate traffic and to tell private business what to do or what not to do, but I think there's great potential here. I think there's a lot of people looking at it like Mr. Anderson who have put a lot of time and effort into understanding this industry. I think there's incredibly good things on the horizon, and I'm just happy to have had a small part of it here.
Can the Senator plug your business? There must be other companies for profit like you doing the same thing.
Yes,
there
yes,
are. There's. Okay, yeah. But your advice to potential farmers watching this?
You know, I can't stress enough to make sure that there is a buyer at the end of the day. And also, I want to point out that we don't think that monocropping any crop is the way to go. I think that hemp should be looked at something that you put in your rotation. And that's my number one advice is I'm just going to keep keying on, make sure that you have a buyer.
Okay, thank you. Deadline to apply with DadCap if you're a potential grower is May 1. I want to thank State Senator Patrick Teston, a Republican from the 24th District, State Representative Bob Culp, a Republican from the 69th District, and Ken Anderson, founder of Legacy Hemp LLC. Fascinating subject. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
All right. Well, that was